There you go, Ed Sheeran. And he won today, and he's been speaking about the court case and the effect it's had on him. And we play a little bit of that. Ed Sheeran, here he is.
Whilst we're obviously happy with the result, I feel like claims like this are way too common now and have become a culture where a claim is made with the idea that a settlement will be cheaper than taking it to court, even if there's no base for the claim. It's really damaging to the songwriting industry. There's only so many notes and very few chords used in pop music. Coincidence is bound to happen if 60,000 songs are being released every day on Spotify.
Yeah. That's what my mother says. There's a limited combination of notes, so it's bound to happen. That's Ed Sheeran there. Joined in studio by Ray O'Neill, psychoanalyst, and Alison Keaton, psychologist. Good afternoon to you both.
Good
great
afternoon.
To see you in person.
Yeah.
And we'll never take this for granted again.
No, it's not.
No,
isn't it?
Yes,
it's so lovely.
Yeah. And Ray and Alison are here to give you advice on your relationship woes. Now, dear Ray and Alison, my husband and I have drifted apart over the last 2 years of the pandemic. We are still together, but we need counselling. My husband is not a fan of counselling. The main reason for this is my husband's excessive fear of catching COVID. We are both high risk with underlying conditions, but I just don't have the same fear. I follow all the guidelines, but feel we need to move forward for our sanity and especially for our young child. I'm homeschooling our child and I worry so much about them not interacting with other children for their development. My husband refuses to see my point of view, as his point is we must not catch COVID and our child cannot attend school as the risk of taking home COVID to us is too high and our child would be left an orphan. We've spent the last 2 years cocooning. Any advice would be appreciated. Poor things. Ray.
That's just a really, really tough situation. And I think one of the things, even with this wave, is that the level of kind of paranoia, anxiety, hysteria is lessened. It's almost this new normal that COVID is going to be with us. And so it's really important for this man and indeed this couple to kind of go, look, COVID isn't going to go away, but we shouldn't be hiding anymore. Mm. And again, taking advice from doctors, taking advice from communities that share the underlying conditions that she and her husband are dealing with and see what they're doing. Because sometimes you're going, oh, we don't have to be that scared. But it's the child that was really moved by that. I mean, kids need other kids. Mm. Like I was reading, Alison probably know this, like it's the 7-year-olds and the 70-year-olds that we really need to be mindful of what they lost during COVID. So definitely your child needs those educational opportunities, but also those social opportunities. He can't become isolated.
No. And like we're hearing these stories now, but the 2 years of lockdown has affected people, some people very negatively. Mm. And you can see why the easiest thing to do is just stay doing what they're doing, cocooning.
Yeah. And you know, be in avoidance. I suppose the first thing I would say is where she says the husband's not a fan of counselling, that perhaps suggest trying online counselling as a starting point so that it's comfortable for him as well. I completely agree with Ray, and I have so many people in this position who have high risk problems for themselves and their children. And I know it's a genuine fear, and I think it's never to try and persuade someone not to be frightened, but to see what you're going to lose out on. And genuinely, that child needs the interactions. You know, when you said about the 7-year-old, like my 10-year-old was kind of grand about school, but she skips into school now.
Yeah.
And I kind of think that's because of COVID. It's like, I was a bad teacher, obviously. Obviously I was crap. But, you know, I'm like, wow, that actually is really interesting. Yeah. Like they just love, you know, today we did this and then we did that. And even just kind of there's so much importance in being out in yard and learning how to create relationships, deal with conflict, you know. Kids actually, they need school. They do. They need the interaction.
It's a very difficult one, isn't it?
Very difficult.
Your suggestion about online counselling is very good. Did you do online counselling during the...
Oh, I did it. Yes. The whole way, yeah.
How did you find it?
It was brilliant.
Yeah.
I haven't actually gone back.
Have you?
No, because genuinely, a lot of people used to travel to come see me and it would take a half day or like a full day sometimes in some cases. So, but pre-COVID, I would have done it for people in those situations. But people were like, do you know what? I mean, there was a lot of car park therapy during COVID, you know, if they couldn't do it in the house, if everyone was there. But people are like, do you know what? I really like this. I'm going to actually keep going. So I personally think it's down to the two people and what suits them. Someone else might say, no, I really love being in the room.
Yes.
And that's perfect. So then that's what's going to suit you. But for other people in our kind of busy lives, when they feel the connection's there with the therapist.
Already. So,
Not necessarily. Obviously, there were lots of new people, but if it works for you, it works.
Yeah.
You know.
But I'd say for some people, though, part of the hour of therapy is getting out of the house, getting into the car, driving. All of that is part of it, the ritual.
That's one of the things in our kind of Zoom culture, because again, all of us had to do online work, yes. Where, you know, and I would say to clients, it's really important to still have that half an hour arrival time and that half an hour departure. Like, don't go from Zoom call to Zoom call. Yeah. It's too important. Go for your walk or have some time for yourself to just reflect on what's happening. It's too important.
That's important. So, good advice for this woman here to suggest online counselling, and that'll be a start.
Yeah, and just to go in compassionately and say, look, and kind of curiously, what's actually going on for you here? Not trying to dissuade them out of their opinions, but saying, as Ray is saying, it's like the flu, it's going to be here. Mm. We do need to learn how to live with it.
Okay. I think one of the things I would say is, particularly after COVID, is we need to listen to fear, but we should never obey fear.
Right. Okay, good. Hopefully that works out. Dear Ray and Alison, I was in a very abusive relationship which I escaped from. A male friend helped me enormously. We have since become a couple ourselves and I really do love him. I discovered that he was carrying on with another woman, which has left me devastated and unable to trust him. He says it was just a fling and it's totally over, that he wasn't sure about my commitment and it will never happen again. I want to believe him, I really do, but I don't want to be a mug. He helps me a lot in dealing with my ex, who is still on the scene because of my children. Am I a fool in staying with this man? How can I trust him? I'm worried. I am falling into another bad relationship. Advice would be gratefully received. Alison.
I don't know is the answer. Do you know? Because, like, I really do believe in gut instinct. Do you know? People can make mistakes. I'm a little concerned that the reason given back was kind of like, well, I wasn't sure of your commitment. I think that's not very fair. If he wasn't sure of the commitment, ask before you have the fling. Do you know? So I wonder how this person deals with kind of dealing with difficult, like if he was worried and maybe this is not a real relationship, have a chat with her first. But it is a very easy thing to go from an abusive relationship and to go into relationships where there is levels of kind of dysfunctionality. So I think just checking in with yourself and take that kind of sense of, am I a fool, out of this and just ask, look, what am I actually stepping into here? You know, is this actually working for me? Where do I see ourselves going? And it's impossible for me to say whether you can trust this person or not, again, you know, but have a big conversation. And draw lines.
They've sort of, for want of a better word, stumbled into this relationship, haven't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like that. And that's, I was curious to see what Alison might say on this. Because I suppose it's a sign of aging, Ray, when you realise you've actually become more conservative. And because I work so much with young adults and young people, and kind of their approach to relationships is completely different. So someone saying, you know, I wasn't sure about your commitment because we'd never use the word boyfriend or girlfriend or relationship. People feel until those words are actually said. So it's almost like getting engaged.
Okay.
You know, they kind of, until that's
a statement of intent.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I can understand that something got lost in the ambiguity. And there's a real good message to all of us there is, if you're serious about someone, let them know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they what commitment they want to know, that's their business. But at least they know what page you're on. And
it's a bit like the movies, though, isn't it? Where are we at? Are we? Is this a real relationship?
That's what's happening.
You have to ask that question.
Yeah, it's kind of good, though.
Yes. No. You're right. You're right. It is good. Yeah. We'll take that one for Hollywood. Not everything. We'll take that one. Yeah. So anyway, that's how it may have happened. But now they're in this situation, and this poor woman wants to know what to do. You obviously can't tell her over the radio what to do, but she can offer advice.
I think all she can say is, like, look, you know, her trust has been undermined by the first relationship. It's been challenged by what's happened with this guy. I think Alison's point about kind of going from one relationship into another, it might be no harm to just take a step back, find yourself, be yourself, and then re-engage. Not to be punitive to this fella.
The only thing I'd say is that, you know, he helped me a lot in dealing with my ex, who is still on the scene because of my children. So she sort of needs him. Not needs him, but, you know, he's playing a role in her life.
I know, but the role needs to be the right role.
Okay.
It really does, you know. And I think it would be really, really good to kind of talk with someone about the abusive relationship and actually what that was like for her and experience with that. So it's actually, she's already being about the next relationship rather than actually looking at herself.
Okay.
Yeah.
We were talking at the beginning of the show, just flippantly, I suppose, there was a poll, a survey done of reasons why people postpone breakup. There's something going on there. I don't know. It's my headphones. I was just wondering, in your work, do you find that people do put off breaking up with somebody because they don't have the words, or they're fearful that they'll hurt them, or absolutely. And what's the best advice?
I think the number one reason is the fear of being alone. I see that it's actually there. It's just, we live in such a coupleist culture where if you're in a couple, you have this extra status that even exists in Facebook, your relationship status. Yeah. And so to give up all the privileges that being coupled or married, it is a huge lonely, because there's something wrong with you in our culture if you're single, instead of celebrating people who make different relationship choices and really admiring the people that kind of go, this relationship isn't for me. Step back from that.
And the number one was to avoid hurting their feelings. There's going to be hurt feelings, isn't there? That's the nature of a breakup.
But I always think that staying in a relationship that isn't actually happy or healthy, you're going to hurt their feelings anyway. So, like, choose your heart. But I think people postpone it because it's as Ray said, it's so hugely difficult. But also, you know, people feel they don't have the right to do it. They kind of lose themselves. You can lose yourself in a relationship. You can lose actually what's important to you or what you actually like. And then you can kind of think, well, this is my life now. You can accept sometimes things that actually aren't working for you. So I think it's a very courageous thing to break up with someone if it's actually not right, especially in a culture that is very...
But it's the right thing to do.
It is the right thing to do. Yeah. Absolutely.
Ray, thank you very much. Alison, thank you. That's it from us. Cormac and Sarah on the way. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday evening.
It's the Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.